Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. And yourself? So can I just take it that that's a lockdown that people are going to support 15 months for Zuma?
Yeah, this lockdown is very, very well supported. Although that said, he's eligible for parole after 5 months. But I think that's fine. Let him just get used to it. This is for contempt of court. It is not for his corruption trial. So this is just a way to kind of get used to it, familiarize with yourself, almost an orientation. How about that? We look at this like an orientation session.
Okay, so kind of like a dress rehearsal.
Orange and everything. Absolutely right. Let's take a look at what's happening in your neck of the woods, an opening of an embassy in the UAE. Who would have ever thought?
I tell you, I do confess to being more than a little emotional yesterday as our foreign minister touched down in Abu Dhabi, that's the capital of the UAE, and was met with great fanfare, including by his counterpart in the UAE, the Minister of State, and was whisked off into the city. Apparently he had a flat tire, which made him a little bit late, but you know, got to get those things dealt with very, very quickly. And then very, very emotional images watching Yair Lapid, our foreign minister, open our new embassy in the Gulf. I mean, can you actually believe it? Absolutely historic. Also historic for the fact that he's the first major official to visit the country in an official capacity since the signing of the Abraham Accords, something that former Prime Minister Netanyahu wanted to do and didn't get to do. But really, really amazing to see the rabbi in Abu Dhabi affix a mezuzah to the doorpost, making it official. And in his speech at the opening, Foreign Minister Lapid actually acknowledged former Prime Minister Netanyahu. He thanked him for his vision, and he went on to reiterate that peace is something we want with all of our neighbors, and then spent the rest of the day signing memorandums of understanding. We know that there were deals signed for economic development and an increase of trade, a very, very good thing, especially now as, you know, we have the backdrop of the global pandemic, and he will hopefully open up a consulate in Dubai sometime today. So really, really lovely. Our ambassador to the United Arab Emirates, Eitan Naer, said that you could actually feel the excitement in the air. It's very, very exciting, a very, very moving moment for all of us.
Did I read correctly that since this accord, more than 200,000 Israelis have traveled to the UAE?
And they still want us. Can you believe it? They're still allowing us.
And they haven't shut their borders. What is wrong with them? Wow.
So it has become a destination of choice. And if you ask many Israelis, it's not just the curiosity and the new opportunities to do business. It's that many of us don't feel safe going to countries in Europe anymore with growing anti-Semitism. We'd rather go
somewhere in our own region where we feel safe. What you've just said, that many Israelis feel safer traveling to the UAE than they do to Europe. It's just the most phenomenal statement, isn't it?
It is. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, it's really historical, and it's absolutely proof of what the first Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, said. You know, to be a realist, one has to believe in miracles in Israel, and this really is a miracle for the whole region that, you know, we're rather going to keep it in the family and travel locally in our region. This is just where we feel safer and more welcome, and every red carpet, every bit of hospitality to welcome Jews, to make sure that we understand that we are welcome and that we are tolerated, is evident in these countries. And if that wasn't enough, we got an official announcement coming in from Bahrain's King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa yesterday, who issued his royal decree saying that we now have an official ambassador from Bahrain to come to Israel. His name is Khalid al-Jalakhma. And Howard, I have to say, I don't know what's up with the Abraham Accords countries, but we are getting some seriously good-looking ambassadors. I've had messages from the ladies all of yesterday afternoon and into this morning saying, you know, they're very keen to welcome the new ambassador from Bahrain.
Yeah, so hospitable, Israeli women. Just really, really awesome. Yes, doing what they can for global peace, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and also Jewish women, any opportunity to cook, you know, to display our culinary skills. That's how we say we love you people.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about Rivlin at the United Nations yesterday.
Well, continuing his farewell tour of the United States, President Rivlin met with the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He's just been or had his second term renewed, as well as about 21 international ambassadors. And President Rivlin, who we have to say has really represented Israel magnificently in the international arena. He's been an absolute phenomenal leader and a total mensch, but when he needs to put down the law, he puts down the law, Howard. He said, you know, that resolutions and commissions of inquiry are not the way to make peace. And not mincing his words, he said, our region in the Middle East needs to build trust between peoples. Peace between Israel and the Palestinians will never be achieved through anti-Israel decisions or commissions of inquiry. The bias against Israel at UN institutions must stop. We are interested in continuing to work with the UN in order to meet the humanitarian needs of the people of Gaza, with whom we have no conflict. However, any arrangement must include the return of our captive soldiers and civilians who are held by the Hamas terrorist organization.
Do you think that will be accepted as a demand? I see that the United States are not particularly keen to accept, the return of the soldiers as part of the plan.
Well, this is a non-negotiable for Israel. You know, these are our soldiers and our civilians that are being held captive, and this is absolutely non-negotiable. It is something that you are hearing both the Prime Minister and the President and major officials talking about all the time now. In fact, yesterday, accompanying President Rivlin was Leah Golden, Hadar Golden's mother. Hadar Golden is one of the two fallen soldiers who is still being held captive. If you look at any photographs or any footage coming in from Prime Minister Bennett when he is in his office, you will see very much prominently displayed on the bookcase behind him and making sure that it's within sight of any camera are pictures of the two fallen soldiers. In his conversation to President Sisi, Bennett reiterated, aid to Gaza, the rebuilding of Gaza is contingent on the return of our soldiers and our civilians. We're hearing our defense minister, Benny Gantz, speaking about it all the time when issues of humanitarian aid and rebuilding Gaza are raised. So, you know, the Americans can object as much as they want. At the end of the day, these are still Israeli sons that need to be returned home to their families.
Absolutely right. Let's just talk about what is going on in the United States with the rescue mission in Miami.
It is just absolutely heartbreaking just watching the pace of this. And we now know that we have 12 confirmed deaths as a 12th victim was pulled out. Authorities, the rescue workers say that families can still pray for miracles. So they aren't giving up hope, which I find quite incredible. Very, very moving images coming in from Miami of our rescue workers working together, with the Americans, working with NGOs like Cadena Mexico, who've been helping families, other NGOs on the ground. But this continues to happen. Very, very slow process, we understand, but it's also a very, very dangerous site with fires and you know, the way that the 12 floors literally pancaked on top of each other, which is something that we saw during 9/11 when the Twin Towers collapsed, the same issue, that the floors just pancaked down one on top of the other. But the Florida governor and other officials saying that they want to have as many investigations into what the cause of this is as possible.
And Israel obviously still very involved, community rallying around, trying to assist people as much as possible.
Well, absolutely. The Jewish community on the ground in Surfside, and, you know, I've been there. I know that community very, very well. Such a close community. Howard, you know, the kids do everything together. They go to kindergarten together. They go to school together. They go to the same universities. Families do everything together. They are tremendously supportive of Israel, and it's quite moving to see how the community, which is predominantly Jewish, has rallied around each other and rallied around the rescue workers, especially the Israeli rescue workers. I mean, I have to boast our club Nachas from this Wheatso Florida contingent baking yesterday, over 100 empanadas. It's like a South American taco of pie. Very, very yummy. Kosher, of course, to make sure that all the dietary requirements are met. They're supplying them with food. They're supplying the families of the bereaved, or the bereaved families, with food. Because, you know, this is what Jewish women do, Howard.
Yeah, feed, eat. You got to eat. You got to do something. You can't, nobody can manage this on an empty stomach. Really incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I have to laugh because the president of Wheatso Florida said, you know, our way of feeding and make sure everybody's fed is also our way of making sure that every, you know, all of you around the world are with us as well. So it's very much in the psyche of Jewish women that, you know, if we can help you in any way, it's going to involve food.
Yeah, tell us you're Jewish without telling us you're Jewish. Finally, because there's one more wonderful story after this one that I want to ask you about, but let's just talk Poland. What is going on with this little spat?
Okay, so this little spat is turning into a bigger spat. The Deputy Foreign Minister of Poland, speaking to a broadcaster called Polsat, was addressing the issue, was addressing the bilateral relationship with America, and he trotted out literally two major, major ugly tropes and stereotypes. He said that he doesn't believe that Poland's relationship with America can be disrupted in any way, or that it's really strong. He says, despite the potentially disruptive presence in America of a large and influential Jewish community, we know what that's trying to say. And when asked about this very, very controversial, very painful law, he says this is absolutely about money. Those were his words. He said it's absolutely about money, and that Poland will certainly not be paying any zloty for German crimes. He says it is definitely about money, and that is obviously obvious. For the property of Jewish citizens of Polish citizens of Jewish origin who died in the Holocaust, for the seizure of this property, compensation for that property, but also for venting these anti-Polish phobias, which are very strong in some Jewish communities. That is something that will not go unanswered. And we've heard from Ephraim Zuroff, he's the world's most famous Nazi hunter, actually thanking Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, saying what Poland are trying to do now is what many Eastern European countries are trying to do, which is reverse and rewrite Jewish history of the Shoah and deny their complicity as time goes on.
Unbelievable. Now, before, we've got only about 30 seconds left, but we have to talk about Gal Gadot.
We have to, because we have to say a massive Mazal Tov to Gal and her family. They've welcomed in their third mini Wonder Woman.
Absolutely amazing. And her name is Daniela.
Her name is Daniela, and I'm sure, as in keeping in the grand tradition of Jewish women, they will be receiving an influx of food pretty soon.
Absolutely no doubt about that. It's also so wonderful when a celebrity uses a normal name and doesn't go for something totally bizarre. Rolien Marks, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time.